Hello, everyone. Tracy here, your resident business rebel, and you're listening to Digital Business Your Way podcast, the show that lets true stories and insider secrets of online entrepreneur life unfold. Our business world is growing, and as an online business coach and digital product creator, I believe you didn't become an entrepreneur to grin and bear your way through business. So I'll be your guide as we drop in on coaching calls, have intimate sit-downs with online personalities you love, and discuss ideas, opportunities, and strategies circulating our online world. So pop in your earbuds, tap follow, and join me as I demystify this thing called business.
What if we just all just embrace Unhinged as like the new level of authenticity? I think there's a lot of like fake authenticity out there, but nobody wants a guru from stage anymore. They want the friend that's like walking with you while you're going through it, even if you have no way out.
Welcome back. Today's episode, it's a powerful blend of inner work and outer visibility, right? One of our favorite things to go into here. And I could not imagine a better guest for this conversation. So I'm joined by Gloria Chow, an award-winning PR strategist, former US diplomat, and host of the Small Business PR podcast, consistently ranked in the top 1%, and well-deservingly so. Gloria is known for helping small business owners land top-tier media using AI. There's no gatekeeping, no big budgets, no playing by outdated rules. We talk about her personal journey of deconditioning and coming home to herself, and how that has transformed the way she approaches PR, visibility, and of course, gets to leverage AI search today. We're also going to explore how PR now fuels a lot of the discoverability and why AI shopping, it's our new SEO, and how small businesses can finally compete on this level playing field. This conversation, it's bold, it's expansive, and of course, it is full of permission. And don't forget to DM Gloria, the word Tracy, T-R-A-C-I-E, on Instagram for a special gift. And let's hear what all she has for us. Hi, hi, hi. I'm very, very happy to have you here. This is a conversation that, at least in my mind, has been like a long-term coming because we met, what, like a couple years ago in a peer mastermind. And our conversation like at that table was like really intense. And then we both went away and did our own lives. And then it was like, no, I want to know all these things and I want to see all these things, you know? So it's been that fun kind of for me, watching you evolve and being like, yes, this is exactly, you know, the kind of thing that I'd love to talk about. Because last year, you were really open about that kind of massive internal shift that you went through, you know, the deconditioning, the healing, the kind of like coming home to yourself, if I can put words in your mouth. But at the same time, you're still forever known as like the one who helps people with wild visibility. Right. And being able to like break the old rules as they do that. And so I kind of wanted to explore how those two things connect. So thank you for being, you know, for being willing to be here and kind of go on this little journey with me.
Oh, thank you for having me and creating space for some genuine, real, no bullshit conversations. We need more.
Right. I know. Yeah. And then that's the thing, you know, because these are those intimate moments of like, no, what does business really look like for those of us on here? You know, it's life beyond laptops on the beach, because yes, we can have that. But what else do we also do? You know, and we go through tough shit and we still sell things and we still make things work and we have quiet time. And so anytime that someone's like willing to come on and really go through that, I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you. I think collectively we're going through something. I mean, how can we not, based on everything? I just got off a podcast with our friend Sophia Parra. Yeah. She was saying how like, she's like unhinged, like coming back from like postpartum unhinged. And I thought that's really interesting because I'm like, what if we just all just embrace Unhinged as like the new level of authenticity? I think there's a lot of like fake authenticity out there, but nobody wants a guru from stage anymore. They want the friend that's like walking with you while you're going through it, even if you have no way out. And I think a lot of times we're conditioned to like, you know, like share from a scar, not a wound. And it's like, no, we want to see the wound, you know?
Right. Yeah. Especially when they're like matching wounds,
you know, because that's a part of it. It's like you can have a scar and somebody can talk about where it came from. But if you're still in the middle of it, you know, wound wise, then it's like, oh, I guess I have to keep my trap shut. You know, oh, I guess I have to do everything. And I know, like, culturally, a lot of people are collectively wounding right now. Right. Mm-hmm. And so you need that collective healing as well in order to get to a scar. Otherwise, it just kind of keeps reopening and reopening and reopening. So doing that from a business standpoint, because all of us are very much, we are the human, we are the business, you know, as we change and grow, so does our business. So, I mean, yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for the messy middle. I'm all for, you know, those kinds of conversations. It's the kind of thing where it's like, don't stand across the street being like, hey, the grass is so greener over here. Oh my gosh, you're going to love it. You know, when you have enough faith to what, trust yourself and give me a bunch of money and come over. Instead, it's like, no, I'm coming to you on your side. I'm standing next to you. I'm walking with you and I'm going to hold your hand while we cross the street.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Nobody walking through anymore. And also with AI and the robots coming for us, we're all kind of looking around, having survived the pandemic, being like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
And where are we in it all? And so a lot of people are like, well, you know, like horses are dead, or, you know, it's things aren't selling like they used to. Well, that's a good thing.
Right?
Because we're fundamentally changed at our core.
Yes.
Even just turn on the news or not, and you still feel different. So I think people, I always say there's two groups of people, people who want to do things the old way and people who are able to do things a new way. We might not know what that new way is, but just knowing that it's not working anymore. Yeah. So that's kind of the radical approach I take to do anything, whether it's, you know, what I'm known for, which is PR, or even my business. And, you know, every year I have a word for that year. Last year, the word was freedom.
Yeah.
And what that meant was, like, I started the year with zero goals, like zero, like, this is my revenue goal and this is X amount, like, you know, mm-hmm. We used to be meticulous about that shit, like putting it on a KPI tracker. I didn't have one. I didn't have an annual goal of like what I wanted the numbers to look like. And let me tell you, it was so nice and so spacious because so many people's launches just weren't going the way that it was and things. And so without the usual marketing things working, yes, it's scary, but it's also like, oh my God, we get to reinvent from such a blank canvas.
Yes.
And so that's what I did. And that's why freedom was like giving myself permission to do things my way, not from like the compound, you know, confines of this is what industry practice is. And so I invite your listeners to do the same, because when nothing works like it used to, maybe that's an opportunity to really tune in.
Very much, very, very much so. And it's that kind of permission that we have. It's like when you became an entrepreneur, you did it because you didn't want to follow a certain script, right? You didn't want that cube life. You know, you didn't want that classic hustle that you see on any, you know, sitcom or whatever. You wanted something different. And when we let ourselves lead with the impact, then the rest naturally follows. Yeah. You know, the experiments come, the revenue comes, the salaries we pay ourselves, you know, like all of these things happen whenever we focus on the human that we're trying to work with and then let the rest grow, right? Because it can feel scary to not have like a structure of like a formula or a basis to go on. So we kind of like want to gravitate to that, you know, and it's like, oh, tell me what is this 5 secrets to making 100K next month, you know, kind of crap. But then at the same time, we'll feel stifled by it, right? Because that's why we crave things like freedom. You know, that's why it's like, oh, what's going to be my focus for the year? Nothing. And I'm going to love it. You know, it's like, I'm going to experiment. I'm going to enjoy it. Because we want to know things, but still have room to breathe and to grow. You know, and I'm curious, like, is that what really like cracked you open last year? Or was it like a lot of unlearning, not just learning for you?
Yeah, I feel like my whole entire life, the theme of it is unlearning. And so especially from the way that I grew up, you know, my mother became a widow when I was 3 years old. She comes from communist China. She grew up with no running water, electricity in her house. So that scarcity runs very, very deep.
Very deep.
And then I'm American. I'm Chinese American. So we just had oceans and generations and language and culture. And I just couldn't quite connect with this woman. I felt like we had nothing in common. We were completely misunderstood. And it was only through psychedelic plant medicine that I was able to feel her grief like viscerally in my bones and create a space for compassion. And so that is kind of what started it all, is just kind of healing myself. And the best thing about being an entrepreneur is that it's the biggest mirror for us to see all the shit that we need to work on, and it never ends. And we can choose to ignore it, but it'll manifest itself one way or the other, right? It can come in the form of micromanaging or being afraid to invest, or the transactional relationships you have with people. But it always kind of ricochets more than if you were working in a corporate world.
Very much.
Safeguards there. Yeah. So that healing journey came, you know, I think a long time ago. And then before that, I suffered burnout. After my first six-figure launch, I was wearing bandages. I had a big fibroid removed from my uterus. It was like the size of a baby's head. I just worked myself to the bone, and I achieved what I thought was the pinnacle of what I wanted to achieve. And I was so unhappy. I was so unhappy. And I realized no financial or numeric milestone that I put for myself really made me feel great. And so I was like, okay, well, what else is there? And that's when I started to strip away my messaging from all that I've heard. Do this funnel, do that tactic, you know, because we've tried them all. And to figure out what is it that I want to create, because this is why I'm not working for anyone else. It's because I get to create. And we forget that, like you said, and just to strip away everything to figure out what's still left there. And so I've been on that journey since. And I would say it's been, if you look at my content, for example, a few years ago versus now, it's very different. Right, because I'm more spacious, I'm more patient, I'm more abundant, there's more flow. And so the way that I sell is very different. The way that I write emails is very different. The way that I approach launches and urgency is very different. So you just gotta know that, like, it's always gonna be a mirror of who you are, and whatever you're feeling, your audience will sense that as well. I had people DM me and was like, you know, like, your message didn't really resonate with me many years ago. It felt very bro marketing. Well, of course it did, because that's what I was following, right? I was right. Brainwashed by what I thought was right until I realized, like, oh, I could pick, I could choose, you know, what I want to do. And so it's just really getting to the meat of it. Now, obviously that comes from a privileged place. It comes from after having a repeatable system that works. When you're just starting out in your business, I totally get it. You're looking for like different direction, and that's fine. But then once you realize that you have a repeatable system to get people real results, life-changing results over and over and over, means that your shit works. And so maybe it's time to just tap into like why you want to do what you want to do. And so now my business is very different from the way that I lead, from the way that I delegate, from the way that I kind of, I don't want to say let things slide, but I was like the most terrible, like nitpicky micromanager. Like, who the hell wants to work for someone like that? You know? And now I kind of just let things roll and just realize like it's not going to be all perfect and it's okay.
Yeah. It's coming to terms with that control aspect, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because one Instagram post with a spelling error, one email, it's not gonna kill your business.
Yeah,
it's not gonna kill your business. And so, what is your homeostasis state? Is it always on high alert? Is never enough? Go, go, go! And then people feel that pressure because they definitely will not buy. Even more than ever, our digital spidey senses are heightened more than ever, is what our friend Sarah Ashman says, right? So any kind of like scarcity or like wanting to like, oh, you know, people are just going to step like 10 steps away. It was true 5 years ago. It's even more true now, because now there's AI. They can go to anything. They don't necessarily need you.
Yeah.
So what is it that has really helped me is doing the inner work. So that way I can translate into how I send emails, how I sell, how I hold space for someone with no expectation, right? How I know that if people don't buy this round, they'll come around when it's ready, and I cannot force their timeline.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Cause it's anything that, I guess to put like a semi-descriptive on it would be like oozes desperation. You know, that's the thing where it's like, they don't want to see that reflected, but they also don't want to see like everything is grand and nothing's wrong. You know, it's that realness that is in the middle of all of it and what's happening. I mean, whenever you talk about like those tactics that you used to use that help you get to that repeatable system, we've had online business since the 90s. You know, I mean, we're looking at 30, especially in e-com, you know, especially in like all these other places, even if like the education side was still what, infomercials on TV and you bought the DVD, you know, that got sent to your home. Right. And now they're, you know, completely like through an app, but this stuff isn't, it's not new. it's not fresh. So everybody is being born into understanding and seeing this, you know, which is a good thing because our market sophistication has raised and we want that, you know, that is the sign of a stable industry versus it being like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do anymore. You know, it's like, we just have to think beyond those kinds of things that people have been doing for over 30 years. And seeing, well, what do you want as a human and how does that work? Because honestly, the things that were popular all of this time before, that was actually just a regurgitation of the stuff that corporations do anyway. And a lot of it is the stuff that we don't like from them, right? And that whole, you know, voting with your wallet, it's like, oh, I don't like how this business does something, I'm not gonna buy. That's the same kind of thing that we're seeing in our industry now. And it's like the massive, yes, it's a privilege, but it's also like the word that I can't think of right now, our benefit, not benefit, fuck me. What am I trying to say? Our advantage. Wow. That was rough. So our big advantage in that is that we can change it ourselves. You know, because we are us. We're not some giant conglomerate that takes a board 4 months to even decide whether yes or no, right? And then 1,000 employees to make any of the change. It's the kind of thing where it's like, I don't like buying something this way, or I don't like when I hear these messages. So I'm going to make sure that I don't reflect that in what I do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I see that a lot, like with what you do specifically with like visibility and with growth. It's like, how are you seeing this kind of like play out in your world? You know, I mean, because obviously, like, we've been talking about our overall industry, but what about like in your expertise? Is it the kind of thing where like people can still follow a pitch formula, or it needs to be a bit different? Because we've all seen this start the one sentence with, I saw you on this and this and thought it was great, you know? So people are used to seeing these things, right? So how is that changing in like growth and visibility?
Well, we'll say that, you know, a lot of people say traditional SEO is dead. When we talk about search and discovery, because of AI and the trustworthiness, if you will, right, of AI, that it's supposed to give us objective answers, the future of shopping is forever going to be won by those who can be recommended by AI, period.
Okay.
And we're still early in that, right? But ChatGPT just rolled out a few months ago in-app checkout with PayPal and Shopify and Amazon and Etsy. And now it's got all of these integrations. And it only happened in a span of, what, 10 weeks? So if you look how much your own user behavior with AI has changed in the last year alone, think about how much more that online shopping with AI being the decision maker for you is going to speed up. So my focus right now is really preparing people to understand the storefront is going to be AI LLMs. And whether or not you are recommended is going to be do or die for you, because otherwise you're going to be invisible for this new generation of shoppers. It doesn't mean that traditional SEO doesn't work. It just means that it goes from discovery to validation. And that's what AI does for you, right? If you have an argument with someone and you're, you know, wanting to know what the right facts are, you put it into AI and you show them that. And then that's the end of the argument. Same thing with our shopping behaviors, right? If I'm going to be typing, I need a housewarming gift, or I need a vocal coach, if AI is going to pull up some answers, you're probably going to trust that a lot more than social media.
See, and that's the interesting part, was that you said it is the new decider. Right. Because a lot of time, I mean, we're sort of so used to Google and being able to like get recommendations online, as well as, you know, pop them into groups that we're in and stuff. But this is that next level, because it's not just recommending the top 10, you know, results for you. Right. Like, it's not just like a page one thing like it is with traditional SEO. This is this is the reason. And I'm going to give you a dissertation as to why this is the one to buy versus the 15 other things.
Yeah. Yeah. And the LLMs are smart. So it's not just the brands that can whip out 600 blogs and stuff keywords. And now it's not a must. Again, traditional SEO is not dead. I'm not an SEO expert, but I've actually asked AI themselves, like, why is PR so important? And I'm, you know, you could say that I'm biased because I'm an organic PR coach, but PR is a one thing that compounds visibility across platforms. So your traditional search engines like Google, but then also feeds into AI, because that's what it's pulling. It's pulling index credible third-party articles when it comes to figuring out the picture of what your brand trustworthiness is. So it's not going to be ads, because right now you cannot buy ads, and it's not going to be the number of followers you have. And I think this is really important, because for decades, it's been who is the loudest in the room, right? That gets the most eyeballs, or who is the richest in the room. And right now you cannot buy your way to the top of ChatGPT. So we're in this really interesting point in commerce history that's never really happened, where like anyone has the chance to get like pulled and referenced, just like the big brands, because you can't buy ads right now. Mm-hmm. So that what you do in the next 3 to 6 months is going to be absolutely critical, because if you can make that staying power, like the LLMs choose you, right? It's then you're kind of like stuck there. There's that stickiness. But if you wait maybe a year or 2 years and they kind of decided who the winners and losers are, it's going to be harder then to then rank. So I kind of say it's kind of like blogging in the 2000s or getting on TikTok when they just started. I mean, good luck trying to go viral now. Right. So we're in this crazy time, and it's still early, so everyone's kind of figuring out. But we do know that brands that are featured in the media are 3 times more likely to be surfaced on ChatGPT, because that is a really good trust signal to ChatGPT that it's credible. So again, you know, if I'm thinking about if I only have X number of hours in the day, what do I want to do with my time? I'd rather put it into something that compounds, and PR is one of them. Another great thing that's working in our favor is that it's never been easier to be our own publicist, to get featured using free AI tools. So a tool like Perplexity.ai, which is my favorite tool for PR, it's free. You don't ever have to upgrade. Great UX, very simple. The reason why I like Perplexity is that it monitors for consumer trends, insights, and real-time information. And that's what press is. That's what people want. They want relevancy to what's happening now.
Interesting.
And Perplexity gives you what's happening now. So if you are, you know, an author, or if you are a fitness coach, or whatever your industry is, it'll tell you what people are talking about, what are the trends, what are the consumer insights, the policy changes, and then you can pull that into a very simple pitch that then you can offer up to a podcast host or an editor or a writer. And this kind of research, you used to have to pay a PR agency $10,000, $20,000 for.
Yeah.
But you can't tell me that a 22-year-old PR account executive knows more than what Perplexity can scrape on the internet. Like, absolutely not, right? So it's just made it so much more accessible for us to do the research part. And it also actually writes the first draft of your pitch, which is wild, because now it's kind of learned all of my body of work. So you can literally say, I want to write this angle about XYZ. Write this pitch using Gloria Chow's CPR method. And it actually does it for you. So you're like 80%.
So you let it learn your model then.
Yeah. So just because my body of work is out there, because for years I taught people how to cold pitch, because remember, I never came from an agency. I never worked at an agency. I had no book of contacts. I was cold calling, throwing spaghetti at the wall. So that's what I kind of was known for. And this body of work is so widely out there now that the LLMs know it, and you can just literally plug into ChatGPT, write this pitch using Gloria Chow's CPR method. Boom.
Yeah. See, because I was going to ask about that, because I've known of your, you know, CPR thing, and it's the kind of method where it's like, it's really simple, it's really clean. But again, with the way things are starting to change, right? So first off, you said like specific tools are better than others. And in your case, like you love Perplexity, but it's like, it's not necessarily something that we're giving over to OpenAI, you know, to chat. We're using a different learning model there, but then we can still let it scrape these current trends, these current situations, what the actual like temperature in the overall room is, to then help something that is as structurally sound as your CPR methods still work now. Right. So it doesn't sound like some old template that you've seen 1,000 times and you just kind of glance over.
Yeah, CPR stands for credibility, point of view, and relevance. And relevance is the most important thing, because what is news if it's not relevant, right? We want something that's up to date. And so a lot of times we struggle with that relevance, but Perplexity does all the work for you. And so the first prompt that I would put in is like, here's my name, here's my website, here's who I help, here's what I do, here's my point of view. Scan my website for context and imagery and give me the updated consumer trends and insights and citations that I can use in a podcast pitch or an editorial pitch. Boom, it'll give you everything it knows from scraping the internet. It could be reports, it could be research, it could be whatever, right? It could be Reddit forums, it could be, you know, whatever reports. And then you can say, okay, well, I like all of these trends and angles. Please put it in a comparison chart of most to least likely to be able to be featured. boom, it'll give you a side-by-side comparison chart as well. And then the third step will be like, okay, I like angle, let's say 2 and 3. Please write this in Gloria Chow's CPR method. So that alone right there took less than 5 minutes and is what would take people weeks to do, yeah. Right? Or you would pay an agency.
Or now, thousands.
Yeah. And this is where I would stop using Perplexity, because Perplexity is not a great writing tool.
Okay.
It kind of writes like a nerdy 11th grader presenting a science project. So this is where I would kind of stop. And then I would pull it into ChatGPT, you know, and be like, can you make this a little bit more human? And so that I can, yeah. I can approach an editor or a podcaster. Now, a lot of people say, oh, well, isn't there, you know, I'm using AI to write it. And it's like, well, no, the editor or the writer is going to write the article. You're not writing the article. You're mm-hmm. just planting an idea, a seed. So you can absolutely use AI for your research for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the key part, right? Because it's research. You know, all we're doing is we're still using it as that tool, just like when it was an encyclopedia, just like when it was the first iterations of the internet, just like, you know, when it was Google, right? It's like, we're just kind of outsourcing that scrub work of pulling all of these different things together and making it into cohesion. You know, I mean, that's what databases were for. And now we get it by just asking a question to a learning model that already has that, you know, done on the back end and is still like learning and growing, you know, especially anytime we use a generative AI, right? Yeah. And so it can plant these seeds, but it's always important that we're not taking away our version of it. Because a lot of times, I mean, it's a bit of that old adage, you know, you get better answers with better questions, right? Mm-hmm. So it spits things back out at you and you're like, oh, wait, no, that's not what I meant. It's like, hang on, I realize that I need to describe my product different, or I need to talk about my offer in another way, or I need to do these different things to even help this, you know, genius machine, I'm using air quotes here, people, you know, to come out with my intention. So we are shaping how we're talking at the same time in a good way, right? Versus that kind of homogenization way that, you know, people tend to talk about.
Yeah. And pitch writing is different than other types of writing. You know, I use Claude for my email marketing. I find that it's a little bit more human than ChatGPT. But for the purposes of pitching, you can absolutely, it's pretty straightforward, right? It's not like you're writing first person account. And pitches need to have two things. They need to be relevant and specific. And so Perplexity really helps you contextualize it in the here and now with specific backlinks to what it is. So instead of saying, I think this is important, you can say, well, you know, according to this research center, we found that X percent of consumers want XYZ. So you see how that substantiates it, and you can hyperlink it in your actual pitch. It just makes it much more powerful, because it shows a journalist that you've done your legwork. It shows a podcaster that you know what you're saying. I mean, you and I, we both have podcasts, and, you know, we could probably count on one hand the number of times we actually had someone come on because they cold pitch, right? And a lot of times because it's really general and it's not pertaining to us.
Yes. And it's the same old stuff over and over.
Yeah. So, women are burnt out. We need help to, you know, improve our lives. Well, this could work in the 1800s and it could work in 2080. So
right.
What I mean by specificity and relevance. And when I teach pitch writing, I teach it like peeling away the layer of an onion, right? The first layer is really not flavorful. You don't want to cook with it. It's very general. And then the more you get specific, you get into that juicy core. And so that's the power of Perplexity, is it gives you that detailed, specific information for the here and now.
Mm-hmm. And you're giving, you know, the end user a leg up, right? Because now they have a starting point. But there's also like a common, you know, tactic in PR that's like piggybacking, right? It's like whenever you pitch something based on what's already out there, but it sounds like that you actually get to be the initiator of then what can get piggybacked, because of how it's pulling in all of these trends and all of the stuff that's coming, that you might be able to see something that hasn't been picked up yet, you know, in any, by any celebrity or anybody else that's worth piggybacking off of.
Yeah, it's really not about reinventing the wheel. I mean, obviously there's press releases if you have some new, you know, I have a lot of startup clients who are really launching something new, but for the most part, you're just talking about something people are already talking about, but maybe giving commentary to it or maybe mm-hmm. fleshing it out a little bit more. So it's not, the goal here is not to have a breakthrough invention, right? That's why even like a toilet paper gets featured, and liquid death is literally remaking water, right? Yes. So it's not about new and novel. It's just about relevance and specificity. And we've never lived in a time time where these tools are more ubiquitous or more easy to use and free. And so that's why it's really the best time for PR, because you have this kind of confluence of all of these things. The fact that AI visibility is just the beginning, the fact that you cannot buy ads, and the fact that the AI tools are free to use. So those three things are working in our favor right now.
And I mean, I hope that the whole ad thing stays that way. Who knows?
But oh, it's not. They're greedy motherfuckers, you know.
I know. I'm like, I hope, or at least there'll be some, you know, indie platform out there, right? Like the wiki version of it, that it stays. So as we're talking about, you know, using these tools and still getting out there, wait, is there a way that like aligned visibility or a grounding way that like supports that overall healing? And, you know, because we started this by talking about how we're all opening up wounds like constantly, and some of them like generational ones, you know, you can go solo and really work through that. And then other ones, it's like they're happening day after day because of what's going on in the larger scale of where, you know, of where we live and what's happening around the world. Right. So how can we marry this idea of, you know, I'm raising my temperature. So this is my new level of success. This is what I can do, my homeostasis. But at the same time, be like, I'm comfortable being out there, even when there's all these other stories going on, even when all this attention is going on, and kind of, you know, marry that supportive way of doing it ourselves.
Yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, there's no one piece of media will cover all of who you are, right? So there's a podcast like this that's very heart-centered, but then there's other ones that are more straightforward. So if you're someone who maybe isn't ready to share yet, you can offer yourself in a different way, right? Maybe you can cite stats and figures, and you can use Perplexity and position yourself as an authority figure in your industry, right? And do something that's maybe not. So it all depends on what you're comfortable with. You don't have to be on TV. You can be faceless, you know, in an audio interview as well. You can be faceless and audioless in a digital interview as well. So there's so many different ways to play with it. What I will say that's great now is that traditionally, you know, PR has been gatekept by this billion-dollar industry that's like, well, we hold the keys and we hold the relationships. And we know that that's simply not true. We know that journalists actually want to talk to everyday brand new fresh voices, because if they just interview the same Fortune 500 CEOs every day, they would lose their, first of all, credibility and belief in them. We would pretty much stop following them right away, right? If it's the same old people. So we're actually
like puppets.
Yeah. And we're actually doing them a favor by putting our name in the hat and offering our perspective. So journalists absolutely want to talk to new people. They're always looking for new people to give commentary. And the story cycle is pretty quick. You know, it could be a quote, it could be a couple things, but what you want to do is feel comfortable at the end of the day being your own advocate. Because the way that traditionally it's been, you pay someone a large sum of money, you know, you maybe get on one call a week and they call up their buddies. Well, now with this method, everyone can advocate for themselves. It's no longer about who's holding the key, because we all hold the keys.
Yeah.
Right? It's just a matter of how do you walk through that door?
Yeah. So whenever you're talking about like being comfortable advocating for yourself, that can be hard for some people, right? For people who are like, oh, just me. Oh, just this. Oh, just that. So do you have like a favorite way to, you know, kind of like shift the perspective on that?
Yeah. I mean, you're putting yourself out there anyways with every Instagram post, with every Facebook post anyways. Why not have your content work harder for you? If you're a busy person, we have a lot of people who are busy single moms, right? What's the ROI of pressing send on that one reel versus pitching? So for me, it's like, if you're going to put yourself out there anyway, which by the way, your business absolutely needs you to, it lives and dies by whether or not you can go to bat with it and be its spokesperson, right? So if you know that, and no one can, you can't, this is not something you can like delegate to AI or an intern. Like you can delegate lots of things, but not this one. Your business needs you to be its spokesperson. And it doesn't mean you need to get on a podium. It doesn't mean you need to be on TV, but the messaging and talking about where you're going, what you're doing, that needs to be you, the CEO.
Yeah. So like that founder's vision being that step out there.
Yeah. And you can do it in a way that's lower effort for you, or like lower stakes for you. Like I said, you don't need to go on TV. I've never really been on TV, right? It's podcasts are my thing. So that's the beauty of it, is that there's so many different buckets of media. But look, people are judging you no matter what. If you press post on that Instagram thing, people from high school are going to see you. You know, it's just a matter of like just having a bigger audience, but then you get to be in the decision making chair. I'd rather have more leads come to me and have a problem of like, well, there's more people than I can handle than the other way around, and like begging and chasing people. So there's always going to be problems in business. It's just like, what kind of problems do you want to deal with? Because there's always going to be problems.
Yeah. Yeah. So then this way you kind of have a bit more, back to the word control, you know, like a bit more control over the avenue. Right. And it is, there are those baby step ways. Maybe you'd be perfectly fine, you know, if someone put a camera in your face, but the thought of writing a guest article, you know, or like having one in there that you're writing versus like a professional journalist just freaks you the fuck out, you know? And but there's so many options, right? And it can be on smaller platforms as well as larger ones. There's just like anything in business, there's different like levers that you can pull.
Yeah.
Fair to say.
Yeah. I will say that if you are in the service industry, especially if you're a coach, then that trust becomes so much more important, right? Because you're probably charging a higher amount than, let's say, someone selling a fidget spinner. So if I'm making a decision based on who to work with, whose expertise I trust to help me get to that next level, then PR is absolutely is critical, because no amount of Instagram posts or ads is going to convey that. You need that third party validation, that stamp of approval. And the great thing about PR is that it compounds, right? So with every press feature, you get three types of visibility. You get the one that feeds the traditional engines, right? The long tail visibility, the SEO, the Google. You get the AI visibility. Yeah. Right. And then you get also the credibility that then you can turn into social media posts and other pieces of marketing. So it's just, for me, out of all the marketing things I can do, it's the highly leveraged one. It's the one that compounds the most. It's the one that I can repurpose the most and gives me the longest staying power for the effort that I'm putting in.
And I would think that even, you know, like all media itself is now multi-platform. Right. So even if you say, you know, wanted to be in Business Insider or Entrepreneur or Forbes or whatever, it still can look like many different forms.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you can. And the great thing about it is that it stays on the internet. It has a lot of lasting power. And you can then, after you get one feature, turn that into your content. Yeah. So you can turn that into 20 pieces of reels. You can repurpose that into your newsletter. You can put it on your LinkedIn banner. You can put it on your email signature. So there's so many other creative ways. So for me, it's just the one thing that simultaneously checks all the boxes of discoverability, mm-hmm. trust, and authority. I'd rather do that than like spend my time trying to figure out how to go viral. Cause like who can go viral these days? Nobody.
Right. And who cares? You know, yeah. Like, you know, it's kind of like old school PR, right? Where, oh yeah, I'm actually in the print magazine versus, oh no, it's an online article only, you know? And now people are like, give me the online article. You know, I want to be in there. And it's the same way, you know, with socials. It's like, oh, I'm going to do the same trend as everybody else, or I'm going to sit here and try to go viral. And how does that actually turn into what we are doing, right? Because the purpose of our businesses is to have direct clients and customers versus I'm trying to make a whole bunch of brand connections as an influencer.
Right.
You know, so it's like, what is the intention of this for you? And then you get to follow that path and that model that works.
Yeah. You know, I don't have a lot of followers on Instagram. I'm not the, you know, flashiest brand out there. I was just telling you how I needed to like rebrand everything. But I'm the number one small business PR expert according to AI. And it's all because of my podcast appearances, all nice. Because of that visibility and the SEO and the backlink. So I'm proof that it works.
Yeah. So whenever like you're going for something like that, is it a case of making sure to say like certain snippets in all of the podcasts so that way it can be parsed by the AI? Or is it like a volume thing, the levels on? Like what is it that helps with that?
So nobody really knows for sure, but what we know is that they like consistent and they like fresh content. So like I would rather have lots of small little things than like one Forbes article, for example, because it's constantly refreshing. And if it sees that you're consistently having updated content that's authoritative, then it feeds into the trust signals that you are a reputable brand and person. So it's really a matter of consistency and a daily practice. It's like going to the gym. It's not a one and done, you know. You don't go to the gym for 20 hours to lose weight. You go for 20 days for 1 hour at a time.
Yeah. And it's like, good. I did one rep. I'm done. Right. Yeah. Instead, it's like, no, how are we going to make this feasible and long-term? So is there like a certain rule on, you know, visibility on PR and all these things that you wish people would stop that like needs to kind of be considered old school, whether it is last year, pre-COVID, any of those?
I think one is like, well, I'm not ready for PR. And it's like, well, if you're ready to take a customer's money, then you need to get your eyeballs out there, and PR is the best way to do it. The second one is like, well, I'm not quite sure about my branding, or I'm going to change. We're all going to change. Everything has changed. We've changed so much in the last month, in the last 10 years, I feel. So you're absolutely allowed to change. But what you want is to have that snowball effect. You want to have a solid foundation of different trust signals that the SEO and LLMs can latch onto to paint a picture of your brand that you're a credible, authoritative person in your space. And you do that by getting those PR and podcast features.
I love that. And I love the idea of like, if you're ready to take money, you're ready for PR, right? It's kind of that like really quick thing. And, you know, I know that your heart of a lot of your business is in helping founders, especially women and BIPOC, you know, like really be seen. So is there anything that you want them to remember when they feel overlooked, or when they feel like the news that's going on is in the wrong direction of what they would traditionally think is helpful?
I would say remember your why. I would say very few of us started our business and did this harrowing journey, right? Where we could have just had the stable thing. You know, me coming from government, I had a very stable pension, everything, gave that up. Right. Remember your why. Just, I feel like there's so much like fancy tools out there and strategies, and we just get further and further and further away from our why and our customers. No wonder why we're in a trust recession. We've just became so far from what business is, which is human to human connection, someone entrusting you with a sum of money in return for care, skill, expertise. Like, we forgot that. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, I don't do sales calls. And it's like, okay, well, why? like what makes you think that less proximity, less care, less attention, less thoughtfulness will make the end customer want to trust you more? And so I think this era of authority and hiding behind your credentials is over, because now with AI, like, it equalized everything. Like, your information is really not that special anymore, honey, right? And so what we need to do is go back to the basics, which is more care, more thought, more helping people for free, more staying in the DMs with them longer and not pressuring them to buy, more, you know what, think on it, let me know when you're ready. That kind of energy is what's going to allow people, create a space for people to then come into your world. And so I think that it's great in the sense that what's happening now with the online world, that things aren't working anymore, it's just reminded us to just be a fucking human again. And thank God for that, because we've just gotten so far away from that for a long time.
Yes. So true. Right. And even to the point where people being shamed for wanting to be human, right, or wanting to have connection, or wanting to be up close, you know, and do all those things. And to give people a leg up, because, you know, you've talked about your CPR method, you've talked about Perplexity, like, you talked about all these things, but you've actually put all of this together in a tool that you are giving the audience.
Yeah. So I really call myself a radical disruptor, because I create from a blank canvas. I've never worked a day in my life in a PR agency. My whole mission is to make it accessible. And so with these AI tools, I've created an AI powered PR system that consistently gets you features, whether it's product, whether it's service, whether it's podcast, so that you can give more and more and more possibility for the AI to recommend you, because that's where we're going. That's where people are going. So instead of putting in Google, which coach do I work with to hire, whatever, you're going to use your own custom AI, whatever that is. People are going to AI for therapy and medical. I'm not saying that they should, but they are. And so if people are trusting that with their relationships, their marriage, and their like health, you best believe they're going to trust it when it's recommending coaches and people to work with.
Yeah. And I love that, because it is such a sign that people are so afraid to talk out loud, or to not even know who to talk to, that instead it's like, oh, great, this is something that's talking back to me in a semi-human way. So I'll bare my soul to this. You know, I'm going to talk through the hard things here instead of, you know, a therapist, instead of like all this stuff, or there's too much medical information and I don't know what to do, so I'm going this way. Right. And this early zone that we're in is letting us cut through that in our industry, right? And in what we do. And that's also why, like, I was really glad that the tool that you were giving, with the masterclass that you have out there, is all about this is the why, this is the how, this is how, like, you get to cut through the noise.
Yeah. Sorry, you asked me about that. I totally forgot to talk about me for a second. Okay. You know, it's for service-based entrepreneurs. You know, I have many different free things. I always believe in helping as many people for free as possible. That's like, you can absolutely do this on your own. Like, I will tell you all of it, right? if you want to collapse time, if you want to work with an expert, work with me. But like, you can watch my PR AI training right now, which walks you through exactly how to use Perplexity. I give you a screen share of me typing in the actual prompt. You can see it come to life. Your jaw will drop. So that way I'm not gatekeeping anything. You can go to www.gloriachaupr.com/masterclass. That's Gloria, chaupr.com/masterclass. And I'm on Instagram. I'm an open book. Yes, it's me. It's not, you know, a robot. And I'm gonna try to not use a robot responder for as long as I can, right? For as long as I can. And I'm at Gloria Chau PR. If you DM me the word Tracy, I will actually give you a bonus, a gift for all of your people.
I love that. Yes. And thank you, because that is that kind of, you know, personal trust, right? And that was why I loved that you were willing to share your story. And, you know, and we were able to like look at how that helps with the visibility part, because it's part of that deeper connection with you. You know, it's part of having that time together where we can talk through this and be like, yeah, this is where I was. This is what I went through last year. This is what's still happening every day. But, you know, we can still... It's like, you know, if you're willing to take money, you're ready for PR, right? It's that kind of piece and how all of this kind of comes together, because we will always be going through something, right? And we don't need to let that keep us from, you know, reaching these different avenues and these different ways. And while AI is still the Wild West, let's get out there, you know, let's prospect.
I always say the people who are like trying to like make things very complicated and gatekept, like they're just trying to monetize on you. And if you cannot make it simple for people to understand, you are losing money. I think there are very few businesses, maybe if you're medical, that are actually gaining for making things more complicated. With AI, it's like you can distill it down. So try to figure out in your own business, how can you make it just so simple for people to understand what it is, that it's almost like, duh, right? And no, it doesn't lower your worth. It doesn't decrease your expertise. But if you can make it really simple, like for me, like PR is just, I distill it, right? It's like sending a pitch and writing a pitch and sending it out. It's really that simple. And a customer who is empowered because you've made it accessible and simple, they are the best buyers. They're the ones that are, they don't have overwhelm. They're ready to dive in. And so think about ways that you can really empower your people so that it's a hell yes.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Cause then they get to dream about what's next, you know, and that's where the loyalty is. That's where the magic is. That's where you get to see the compounding effect of your impact. Right. So thank you very, very much for being here with us and, you know, and for going through all these pieces and through the thread with us. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me here on Digital Business Your Way. Be sure to check out the show notes for all the links mentioned today. And while you're there, I'd love for you to rate and review the show. And if you have a topic or question you want me to answer, I want to hear it. Head to tracypatterson.com/AMA and ask me anything about business. If I don't know it, I'll bring it up with one of my guests. And until next week, be well and have some fun.